an AppleViz original.
Decided that we wanted to focus on something that has a true impact. And through AI, we thought we can solve problems that are otherwise almost impossible to solve. That's how we started working on this project, and it quickly evolved into the SuperSense.
The research and development team here are one of our biggest proponents. Like, these guys are constantly surprising me with the things that they're looking into. They're looking into some really innovative and amazing features. So that's really something to support and something to get behind as a blind person. One of the things that you know, I came to this app first as a user. When they asked me to be part of the team, I first looked at this from the perspective of a blind person. You know, I'm in the community, and I want to represent an app that works for people. And one of the coolest things about these guys is we put out an update like every single week. So there's always, when we talk to people, like the research that I do, the phone calls I have with people, those things directly decide our roadmap and how we move forward.
We know the people at Seeing AI and Envision, they're great guys. And we are not here for a vicious competition. We are not here for saying, this is the app, get rid of other ones. I think this is the time of collaboration more than competition. We should help each other and learn from our mistakes and our successes to improve the whole ecosystem.
Hello, and thank you for giving this podcast a listen. My name is Thomas Donville. I also go by the name of Anonymous, and welcome to the AppleViz Extra number 76. I am here with two folks from the behind of Mediate, which is the developers or behind the app called SuperSense AI. I have Shane and Charlie. How are you both doing today, guys?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so great to have you both on here. I've been wanting to have you both on here for so long, ever since I looked at SuperSense AI. And we'll get into the details about SuperSense AI so our listeners will be able to know what the heck we're even talking about. What is this SuperSense AI? What is it supposed to be? And things like that. But before I dive into that, I'd like to get to know a little bit about both of you guys. So we'll start with Charlie, if you don't mind. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what do you do for Mediate and anything with the project of the SuperSense AI?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I am one of the co-founders of Mediate. It's an MIT spin-off company and works on developing computer vision solutions for the visually impaired and blind users. And SuperSense is our, you know, the app that we are developing right now. And I mainly supervise the technology and research as well as product development.
And how about yourself, Shane?
So my story with Mediate is kind of neat because I started with them through my fiance. She worked with when Mediate started, they were looking for ways to integrate and work with the blind community. So they started it as an MIT spinoff. They were founded in Massachusetts. And my fiance goes to Berkeley. And so she applied and got their internship as a blind person. And about a year ago, they were looking to expand the role. And she had some other things, other responsibilities that she was moving toward. And she sent the co-founders my info. And, you know, we talked a little bit through last autumn. And I started with the company at the beginning of this year of 2020. And what I do is I'm essentially the liaison. I'm the guy who carries the messages from the users and the blind community and the people that we're trying to serve to the developers. So I'm kind of the wire of communication between everyone.
Your marketing guy. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you. Both of you have very good insight on our great backgrounds behind Mediate itself. I am curious. Now, let's talk a little bit more about Mediate. I am curious. So essentially, this project started out in MIT, is that right?
Yeah.
An idea?
Yeah.
And from that, they developed something they thought that this could be used for commercial, say, for blind community. So this was spun off into a company called Mediate?
Yeah.
All right. And how long was that when MIT first started this experiment or this project?
So we started early 2017 with in an entrepreneurship program, and my co-founder Emre and I started thinking about what can we do using artificial intelligence, because it was also my research topic. And Emre has a social entrepreneurship background, and we decided that we wanted to focus on something that has a true impact. And through AI, we thought we can solve problems that are otherwise almost impossible to solve. That's how we started working on this project. And it quickly evolved into the SuperSense in about a year. And then since then, we have been working on the project.
Okay, so it started as a research. So you, is this kind of like, would I be right if it's some sort of a thesis for your degree or anything? Okay.
So I did my PhD in computer science and artificial intelligence laboratory at MIT. And my focus was, can we make machines to understand the physical space? How humans understand space, and how can we develop machines, computers, robots that has a similar understanding? So I focused on spatial cognition, spatial perception, and just worked on all that topics to create computational products.
Oh yeah, that's no doubt. That's a hot button nowadays, is this AI stuff. It's a hot upcoming thing to make it more robust and more comprehensive in things to use it. All right, so you started this back in 2017, that was you say, and so when did Mediate come into play?
So we, from the beginning, we incorporated the company and started working for the project. You know, similar to any other startup, we started off with seed funds and then grew our team. So, from the beginning, we have been working on this, actually. We were pretty focused on SuperSense almost from the first day.
Okay. Well, how many people are in this this group of Mediate?
Currently, we have about 15 people.
Wow.
That involves R&D team. We have a dedicated R&D team that develops our unique technologies. We have a product team, developers, as well as marketing and community growth teams. Yeah, we have designers.
Well, you have a good sized group there, and that's great. Now, I'm curious. Now, I know that Shane said his wife is blind and part of the group. Are there other visual impaired people that are working there?
Well, right now, I think we have only Shane from the community, but we are actively searching for improving our team on that sense. But maybe Shane can talk about how we engage with our community, because we have a very close relationship with our customers. We feel like actually our customers are part of our community too.
I'm a lot to handle as a blind person. So they decided instead of hiring more blind people, they were going to have me. I was going to work through them to reach out to our community. So we do a few things there. We within the app, actually, there are a couple of ways that you can engage with us. We have a direct email address, and people send us things, their feedback, any issues that they're having. And people can request a phone call as well. So you can hit a button and you can talk to me. I'll call you and we'll chat about the app and any problems that people are having. And of course, I help the team do research every week. So I talk to probably... Some weeks I'll talk to 30 or 40 people and just hear what their problems are, what actual people are struggling with in the community, or like misconceptions that other companies have, and how we can be as authentic and genuine as possible to help the community that we're trying to serve.
That's remarkable. Now, how long have you been blind, Shane?
I've been blind all my life. I'm 20 years old.
All right, so you pretty much understand how our life is and how it evolves, how people look at us and how things work. And that is awesome. I always encourage people with a company that to have a few visually impaired folks so they can get a better perspective, an idea, and kind of bounce ideas off you. That's awesome. Well, you know, we come to the point where, what in the world is SuperSense AI? If I would never use it before, how would you guys describe SuperSense AI, and what does it do for me?
Giving a little bit of background, we started SuperSense because our customers were telling us that there were different aspects of the scanning and reading experiences that they were struggling with, and we saw some opportunities that we could go in and fix those things. So SuperSense, our goal is to bring unique AI technology in to handle text recognition and object recognition more efficiently and more effectively than any other product. So we have What we do is we can scan currently currency, barcodes, text of all kinds. We can scan for objects in your vicinity. We can scan all kinds of things, really. We can scan PDFs, photos from your library. We can pull the text out of those. And these are all programmed through our unique AI technology that the R&D team has come up with.
Now you got me curious on a couple of those. Let's take barcode, for example. I can tell you right now, a barcode is probably one of the hardest things for people to find and identify. I'm curious your experience with trying to find a barcode and what kind of information does your barcode give you?
That's funny, actually. We just started a blog like 3 weeks ago, and I just published a post on there about the kind of patterns on different product types where you can find barcodes. So like where they are on boxes and where they typically are on round things like cans and bottles. And so that's actually just like putting in an hour or two at the supermarket and doing that research has helped scan barcodes a lot more quickly. And a lot of our users have found that to be really helpful too with our barcode scanner. And so once you get a barcode, once you scan it, right now our barcode reader will tell you the brand and the type of product. So like Heinz ketchup, for example. Mm-hmm. And it can also tell you the ingredients in that product and the nutrition facts. And also working on expanding that too, to get a lot more information. We're always taking suggestions for what people want to do with barcodes.
So if I were to say, I want to take this Kraft's macaroni and cheese box, and not only can I scan it to tell me it is Kraft's macaroni and cheese and whatever it is and the ingredients, does it tell you any kind of instructions like how to cook it or how to make it?
That's in the pipeline.
That's in the pipeline.
This okay. is one of the requests we are getting frequently, and we are looking into actually providing that solution in the upcoming releases.
Oh, that's great, because you know I've had a lot of people and clients who will tell me, you know, they go to the store and they just want to be able to scan something and they just want to see what's in their hand, and that's going to be really super useful for that. Well, tell me a little bit more about the object recognition part. What is that exactly? Is that
sure? Why don't I take over on that?
Yeah, you got it.
So, as I told you, I was focusing on spatial perception for machines from early on. And we have been developing what we call environmental understanding for the smartphone, one of the features is basically telling people what's around them. The object recognition basically locates an object out of 600 different types and tells the user if the object exists in front of the camera or not. In our actually Android version, we also have a Find feature, which is also upcoming in the iOS release, which allows you to pick out a particular object, say a door, and then you start scanning around, and whenever the camera sees a door, it starts beeping, so to guide you towards the object of interest.
Is that something you pick from, or is that something you take a picture of in advance and say, if you ever see this again, let me know?
This is one of the things that we are working on. Right now it's working real time, and it only works categorically, so it doesn't pick out a unique object. It just picks a category of objects, say doors or cups or tables. As I said, we have 600 different things you can find with the camera right now.
Oh, that's interesting. And then I think you both discussed about some sort of an OCR in documents. I'm guessing this allows you to read not only what you're seeking on instruction page, but also just real-time scan of reading text to you, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there are two modes. There's one that it's our quick read where you can scan anything around you for text and it'll read it to you instantly. And what's neat about that is you can access anything that you've scanned there before in the read history function of the app. So if you forget it, you can go back and access it and copy it or share it or whatever you want. And then we have our document reader, which is more for lengthy reads. And what's really neat about it is our unique guidance system. So we put that in so that it could really effectively help someone who couldn't see what they were trying to scan get a clear image of it so that it would have the best accuracy possible. And so right now what we're hearing from the people that we're working with is that SuperSense has the best accuracy from any document scanning that they've tried before, which is a huge compliment to us. And we're still working on right now, one of the big things that we're about to release is to make this even better is edge detection. So we'll be able to capture, it will make sure before it takes the image that it has the full document in the frame, all four edges of it as well.
So there'll be like a little spoken text where it'll tell you, hey, we see something or some sort of beeping sound to let you know that it's trying to get into that frame. Is that what you're working on?
Yeah, it gives you really clear instructions. So it'll tell you like move slightly to the left or move slightly away from the document or move slightly closer. And then as you move the camera, it'll get another assessment of where it is and then be like, okay, you need to move to the right just a little bit. So it'll kind of tell you and guide the user in a personal way. And nice. Then once you have the picture, you can do all kinds of stuff with it. You can copy specific parts of it if you only want a certain paragraph, or you can share the whole thing as a PDF. You can email it however you want to interact with it.
Oh, interesting.
I have news for Shane. Shane, just today, we just released the edge detection-based system.
So. Oh, seriously? Wow. I'm excited that everyone's going to get to try this now. I've been playing with this for a while, and it's
already
really
out there.
Nice.
You can try out.
It's already out. Yeah. We'll go for it then. You have edge detection already.
That's awesome. So it's so in a sense, kind of a smart guidance. So it's allowing you to tell you how to make your picture better or how to make it more legible for the AI to be able to read and interpret.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's always really handy. I mean, any kind of indicator and things like that, I find that users will help them a lot. I think the most difficult part I think a lot of people have is the distance. How far do I need to be from that object before is too far or too close? And I think that's where a lot of the major problems I've come across and teaching clients to knowing the right height and things like that. So any indicator like that would be fantastic. I would love that. So all this is in a history form, so I'd be able to take it, as you say, I can share this and make it into a PDF. Is that right?
Yep, you can share and export any of this stuff.
Nice. Can this be multi-pages?
That's a new feature. We're working on that. That one's in the pipeline for the next few weeks, I believe.
Oh my goodness, I'm just hitting all the...
Yeah, one of the things that you know, I came to this app first as a user. When they asked me to be part of the team, I first looked at this from the perspective of a blind person. You know, I'm in the community, and I want to represent an app that works for people. And one of the coolest things about these guys is we put out an update like every single week. So there's always, when we talk to people, like the research that I do, the phone calls I have with people, those things directly decide our roadmap and how we move forward. And those things, when from the time people suggest them, can come out as quickly as 2 weeks.
Wow. And now you guys started, did you start this with Android?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that came out first, and that seems to be what I've heard is a little more robust. So there's a lot more or some features on there now that will soon to be coming to iOS. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
And what does Android have that iOS doesn't at this moment?
As I told earlier, the find feature that allows you to pick a particular object and then guide towards it, it's coming to iOS in recent versions. We also recently added the explore function to iOS, which was already there from the beginning in the Android. We are right now developing a new set of features, starting with explore, that focuses on navigation. This is not all already in Android, but we are expanding on what we had on Android into a full stack navigational solution. So we are actively working in the research department to find what is the best navigational experience we can provide for the users, which would include helping you go to a new place, record your movements, and then next time you find the same place and follow your own traces or somebody else's traces, for example. We also actively look into using new sensors and devices. For example, the iPad just introduced a LiDAR, the 3D scanning feature to the device, and it's coming to iPhones too. Now we are looking into, can we use this for navigation? Can we create a new robust obstacle detection in addition to telling where the objects are? Can we tell how far and how big the object is as well? So these are the things that we are working right now.
I will be really curious about that. I've been telling my users, you know, the word is LIDAR for the year, and I don't think people realize how huge this may help us in terms of being able to use it in ways that we could use efficiently in our everyday life. And I'd be really anxious to see how you guys take LIDAR and what you can do with it, because at this time, we really aren't sure how LIDAR really will work and be able to be incorporated for us. So I would be excited to hear. Has your experience, what is your experience like from an Android to an iOS? Is that like a two totally different beast, or are they pretty similar, or how's your experience with that?
They are actually quite similar in many senses. The voiceover and the talkback in Android have very similar features, mm-hmm. And some differences, of course. So we didn't have a real issue with like translating everything we have done in Android to iOS, but iOS has a much more robust community behind it, and people are very used to it. Mm-hmm. So there is a cultural difference, I guess, between the iOS and Android users.
VoiceOver is really streamlined for blind people. So a lot of people find VoiceOver easier to navigate as compared to mm-hmm. TalkBack. But you then again, when you look at things from an Android side, there's also a little bit more freedom to move around. There's a little bit more versatility that you can get in the set of Android features. We have these two really unique, incredible communities in the iOS and the Android communities, and they have some different perspectives, but a lot of times their ideas are really similar, and the way to see looking at users in this way is a really cool perspective to have, to see how these people interact and how they what they say about software.
Oh, no doubt. I totally agree with you. I think it's great to have options, and we have both platform to people to use. And I'm really curious about in terms of where do you think a lot of the blind communities are using? Are they using more the Android or the iOS? Have you seen any difference between that?
There is a difference, not in terms of the user, but in terms of how we distribute our application. The Android mm-hmm. app is globally available. It's available in all countries. And we have a huge community in the Asia and Latin America, in addition to United States and Europe. The strategy we are following with iOS, in order to make the app as polished as possible, mm-hmm. we limited the markets we are available right now. So we have US market and Northern Europe, including the United Kingdom. So therefore, I cannot speak of the differences between users in that sense, but I can tell there are much more iOS users in the United States than Android users. I don't know if it's a widely known fact, but that's what we realized.
That's true.
That's interesting. So geographically, it could make a difference. It depends where you live and what platform you probably tend to use more. That would make sense. That would definitely make sense. Now, some of the features that you offer in SuperSense AI, now that would these work if you don't have internet connection? Do you have to have internet connection all time to make this any of those features to work?
No. This is one of the first things we said. People doesn't always have internet, but they always need some. They always have some needs. So we shouldn't make our feature sets reliant on internet connection all the time. We have only few features that requires internet connection, mm-hmm. Such as the document reader. If you want a more accurate result, we refer to our servers, but otherwise everything is available locally. You don't need an internet connection.
I'm glad you brought that up. That can be a touchy subject to some people. It's amazing how people will perceive on different things. Let me ask you about that. So when you do a document scan, so you're saying for better accuracy, it may send off to the server to interpret and then bring back to your phone?
Yes.
And what kind of terms of privacy do you have built around that?
The whole system is completely encrypted, and we don't share the data with anyone else, but only our document parser, which turns in return the result directly to your phone. So we are not storing the recordings. We are not storing the data. So nothing is stored in the process while we are capturing that information.
So my result goes up and comes back down and it gets removed?
Yeah. No, okay. It's not even stored. It's just processed and the result is directly sent to your phone.
Okay. Well, I like to keep that clear to everybody so they understand that.
We are absolutely not storing right now any document information whatsoever.
Now, the one thing I'm surprised neither of you have mentioned, which I think when I looked at SuperSense AI myself, I was trying to think to myself, how is this different? And that question is going to come up too. But what I was really amazed about the SuperSense AI is that there is, I mean, yes, there are options to change the different ways you want to scan, but that's the whole point. I believe SuperSense is like it'll sense automatically on the fly what you think it's going to. So if it sees money, it's going to read money. If it's going to think it was a text document, it's going to scan as a text document. There is no buttons or anything. It just opens up and it's ready to scan and presume. Would that be a fair assessment?
True. Absolutely. So we have our smart scanner, and what that's going to do is exactly how you described. It's the default feature. It's the first one that you're going to get when you load up the app. It will, you know, if it sees you're scanning a product box, it's going to start looking for the barcode. If it sees a dollar bill, it's going to start looking for that currency. If it sees a lot of text, it's going to switch you to document automatically. So it's going to figure out what you're looking for, and it's going to scan that appropriately for you.
That's what I love about this. Yeah, that's what I love about the SuperSense. I mean, that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, oh, wow. This isn't like Microsoft C9 where I have to go to the bottom and select the different channels. I'm doing scanning for currency now. Okay, then go back over here. Or Envision AI, I have to go to this tab down here and then go up to the top, tap, I'm going to about do currency. This thing will know. I mean, I just turn it on. Hey, it's $20. Or, hey, that's Kraft macaroni and cheese. Oh, there's a barcode. Boop. And you don't have to do anything. Now, correct me if I'm right on this. Now, you do have the option to manually set to say, maybe it's getting a little confused in what you're wanting to do. And you can kind of tell it, this is what I want to do.
Yes. And that menu is also where you can access the things that our smart scanner won't realize. So, you know, for example, smart scanner works with the quick read. So it'll instantly read small pieces of text. It sees document for larger groups of text, barcodes, and currency. But if you want to access your read history for things that you had read in quick read before, or your barcodes or your currency, or if you want to access the explore feature or import a photo from your library or a PDF document, those kinds of things you can do from the feature selector as well as select nice. Manually your type of scanning.
Here comes the hard question. And this is where Shane's going to make his money for the day.
Let's do it.
Now, if you have been in the blind community for any period of time, like myself and a lot of our listeners, we've been using iPhones for many years now. And we've seen a lot of apps come and go. But, you know, I tell you, there are two apps right now that are the go-to apps that are similar. So you guys got into a really heavily competitive market when it came to this type of technology or concept. As I mentioned, Microsoft Scene AI and Envision AI, those are the two elephants in the room. I am curious how you guys think you are different from those particular apps, because those are pretty well-established AI. I think you would agree with me on that.
And for sure.
And what could you do to be able to tell people, why take a look at this when I have something that does pretty much the same that we are discussing here? What makes a difference?
I love talking about this. This is always a lot of fun for me. So, you know, I talk a lot about SuperSense for efficiency and effectiveness. So with efficiency, you're going to be able to scan things more quickly than with any other product using our smart scanner. On top of that, for effectiveness, when you're scanning documents, because of the guidance system and because of this incredible AI that our team has produced, you're going to have the best accuracy and the quickest scanning process that you're going to find. Our barcode database, a lot of people are telling us, is the most expansive. So I've tried a lot of different products for different apps versus SuperSense, and SuperSense has the widest range of products available that you'll be able to identify with it. And the currency reader, we're adding more and more currencies regularly, and it's going to be able to scan those also really, really quickly. We're learning from the best money readers that we've found on the App Store and the handheld money readers. We're coming from this huge knowledge base. We can also scan all Latin-based languages, and we just expanded into the non-Latin-based languages. So we how many languages can we scan now? I lose track because there are so many.
We can scan virtually any written language that any translator can translate. So I think we covered almost all languages already.
That's incredible. And also, outside of the specific functions of the app, as a blind person from the community who came into this app, having used things like Seeing AI, Envision, KNFB Reader, all that stuff before, just as an end user, the team is, if nothing else, the team is what makes SuperSense worth supporting. These guys are really dedicated to the community. We're trying to solve actual problems that actual people have, and we're trying to work with those same people. Our goal is to be a part of the community, to work together with the people that have given so much to the company already. So that's why we talk to people. That's why we, you know, if you can't afford the SuperSense subscriptions to help support the company, you know, one of my things that I do is help people find a nonprofit or help people work with a rehab agency or a source of funding so that they can pay for the app. We want to have, you know, we have on-demand tech support. We take feature requests and suggestions really seriously. So the thing that drives this thing is the users and the people that work with it on a daily basis.
We know the people at Seeing AI and Envision, they're great guys. And we are not here for a vicious competition. We are not here for saying, this is the app, get rid of other ones. I think this is the time of collaboration more than competition. We should help each other and learn from our mistakes and our successes to improve the whole ecosystem, right? Yep. We work on creating a more simpler, more efficient interface. And we hope that our competitors also move into a direction that they create more efficient and robust interfaces. But I mean, we should say that we are here for the long run. We have a passion to create the best experience for our customers. And we are not going anywhere anytime soon. You should know that.
That's awesome. And, you know, saying that, that says a lot. And I think our listeners would too. And I love this, that you mentioned that we're here to help each other and learn from each other to make great options for our community to choose from.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I love just hearing all that. That's just, it's one of those, I have like a virtual checklist in my memory. Like, these are the things I would want. And it's like you pretty much ticked off all the little box that I would have asked or want out of an app and customer service. And it sounds amazing. So you mentioned that it'll translate a lot of language. What about currency? Where are you guys on that? How many currency are you supporting now?
We currently support United States dollars, Canadian dollars, pound and euro, and we are and Australian dollars as well. And we are working on expanding it to other currencies always.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest thing I've hear is that, you know, AlphaViz is such a worldwide kind of a community base. I get a lot of requests like my currency isn't being read, and I think that you can only go upward, and expanding currency is kind of a big thing there. The barcode, real quickly, is that country based? I mean, is that only U.S.? I mean, you know, like how other countries, let's just say France, for example, has their own set of barcode. Will that work on those, or is it just more specific location?
It's not specific location, but I must say our database is widely covers U.S. market and Europe market as well. But we try to expand it to other markets too. So it's a bit harder to capture all the possible products in the world you can imagine. Oh, no. We are trying to expand it. But right now, I can say, we comfortably say we have majority of products in the United States and Europe.
And so SuperSense AI, where is that availability? What countries can people download SuperSense AI?
Currently, we are available to countries in Europe, in UK, Canada, Australia, and United States. And we recently opened up to other countries as well, but these are the ones that we have full support right now.
Cool. I think people would want to know that. And plus, so tell me a little bit more about this, Shane, about this subscription you're talking about. So What can people expect when they open up Super Sense AI? Is there a trial? And if so, how long? And then we get into your subscription. What kind of costs are we looking about?
Sure. So when you first open Super Sense, you have a week. Once you register, you can do whatever you want for a whole week. And then after that, we ask for a subscription. So at that point, you can either go for a subscription like monthly or yearly. So you could pay $5 a month or $50 annually, or you could pay $100 for lifetime access.
That's pretty competitive. I believe other similar apps are charging just about that much.
Yes.
So you're pretty competitive on that. That's awesome. You guys answered some pretty tough questions, and I appreciate that. And your honesty, which is always going to be great for our listeners to know exactly what they're getting into and what they can expect out of it. Now, out of curiosity, before we wrap this up, I saw on your website that you guys are also looking to another project, which is more of an indoor mapping. Is that something we can discuss?
Yeah, sure. This is one of our early prototypes that we work with a museum in Boston. Mm-hmm. And now we are actually integrating that feature into SuperSense. I mentioned earlier, we are now developing a full set of navigational features mm-hmm. that uses, as I said, also LiDAR and similar sensors to sense the environment that will help people to navigate around. That right now we will start with simple navigational features, and we will, of course, sort of be in touch with the community and see what they think about that feature and go from there.
Wow. So is this some sort of a device that these museum would have to set up in order for us to use the indoor mapping, or is this some part in the SuperSense that just does it?
It's all SuperSense.
Whoa, really? It's all SuperSense. Oh, wow. Okay. That gives me something to just, that just gave me a lot to food for thought for digest there. I'm trying to think how that would work. Wow. Yeah. So you'll be able to, I mean, seriously, it blows my mind. So you're talking about a museum in Boston, and I'm going through all these exhibits, and SuperSense is telling me, yeah, this is what you're seeing. This is over here, and that sort of thing. Is that pretty much what indoor mapping
is? This is the vision. We are not releasing it anytime soon, but that's the prototype, yes.
Prototype.
But the idea is it's not limited to museums. We are going to develop an ecosystem for navigation for users. That would include all other spaces, any public space. If you need a navigation solution, we are thinking that we can provide a solution for that as well. Also, you can create your own information and share with others. So these are the things that we are right now in research phase and hoping to integrate all those features in the near future.
It's awesome. Going to be like Waze for blind people. It's going to be crazy.
That is crazy. That is absolutely. I had to bring that up because I was curious out of myself when I saw this other project you guys are working on. So that people, even though it's beyond SuperSense, but I want to kind of include this. So what is the best way to contact you guys and media itself? Now, you mentioned before SuperSense and the app itself, there's ways to contact you, right?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. You can click on send feedback and you can email us directly. Or you can also request a call for technical support or to send or to give your feedback, or if you want to just have a conversation about the app, and you'll talk to me directly.
You have a website?
We do, supersense.app.
Okay, supersense.app. That's a cool one. And then do you guys
You can also
Twitter?
Check us out on social media. We have SuperSense AI on Twitter, mm-hmm. SuperSense on Facebook, and on LinkedIn as well.
Wow, that is great. And now I have to ask now, is there anything else that you guys would like to include this podcast that I might have not asked, or that might be something that our listener would like to know?
Sure. The research and development team here are one of our biggest proponents. Like, these guys are constantly surprising me with the things that they're looking into. They're looking into some really innovative and amazing features. So that's really something to support and something to get behind as a blind person. Can I mention some of the upcoming features that we were talking about yesterday morning? So we're working on now things like, we have actually pretty far in development, a color identifier that actually works. As a blind person, I always add that actually works when I talk about a color identifier, because so many people in my own experiences have shown me really sporadic products. So, you know, they'll throw out pink, blue, green, red, yellow, in 10 seconds, these drastically different colors. And so we're stripping back that design and giving you a simpler color identifier that makes sense. And something else that we're working on that I've never seen anywhere else, that I'm really excited always to tell people about, is an appliance reader that's specifically built to scan things like washers and dryers, ovens, air fryers, thermostats, and tell you the status of them and help you navigate them completely without vision.
You mean if I were to take a microwave, you'll be able to read out what time remaining or what kind of information you're talking about?
Exactly.
It's really anything that you're looking for. Right now we've got that. That's another one of our FAR development projects. So there's a lot of room for versatility there. We can, you know, tell me what you want to be able to read with it. And that's what it's going to be able to do. That's what we're going to program it to do.
What I like about you guys is that this is not just a newbie kind of thing. I just came out 4 months ago. You guys have been doing this for, gosh, I think what iOS came out, what, about a year ago?
Mm-hmm. In April?
6 months, actually.
April of this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so not a year ago. But you have done Android probably a year before that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. So you're kind of relatively new on iOS, but you guys have been around for at least a year, and I have seen new updates from you guys all the time, as Shane mentioned earlier. And it seems like you're putting new features all the time. And that's what I want to make sure the listeners know, that, you know, what you see is not everything. You're not going to be stopped at that. There will be new stuff coming all the time, as they mentioned on this, which I love about it. And I never know what to come out of this. And so I'm kind of excited and anxious to see what new things come up every time you come with an update. So you guys mentioned a lot of great things, and you really nailed it on the head with a lot of different features. I think that you get it. You get it, especially this color recognition. Shane, you get it, because I agree with you. I can do this color on this folder, and it'll tell me, well, I think it's red, or is this a little bit off pink? And I'm thinking, no, it's it's brick red. If you can nail down the more specific color, I think that'll be a dynamite hit. So I think what you guys have, SuperSense AI, is marvelous, and for the price, it's nominal and it's competitive. I encourage people to give this a try, and I appreciate you both for coming on for the AppleVis Extra to talk to me about the SuperSense AI, and I really appreciate you guys answering some pretty difficult questions.
It's our pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a good time up here.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Fun to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thank you so much. And so that is going to do for AppleVis Extra number 76 with the folks behind SuperSense AI. It's available now. Grab it in the App Store. Give it a try. You get a 7 days trial. Is that right, Shane?
Yep, that's the one.
Yep, and then you get to pay on a monthly or yearly basis after that.
You have the honor of paying us.
Awesome. Well, my name is Thomas Donville. Also go by the name of Anonymous. Until next time, bye-bye.
This AppleVis podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleVis.com.